Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said that the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of the kingdom. And he did not say that as though it should be the case. He said it as an indictment or as some sort of criticism of the children of the kingdom. He says the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of the light. They are wiser. They are more shrewd. But you see, he went on to say a number of things thereafter. But let's first read the whole context of this from verse 1 of Luke chapter 16, where he's talking about, go to verse 1, he says, he also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And so he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. It's interesting that at the time, people were taking debt in oil and wheat. So the master commended. Now, obviously, this is talking about the Lord. And talking about us as stewards of what belongs to him. But you see, he says here, the master commended him. Yet, in your moral speak, you'd say this man is a muyai. And he actually was. But it says here that the Lord commended him. For that, the master commended him. Of course, this parable clearly is not just about a rich man, it's about the Lord. Commended the unjust steward. Now, here is the interesting thing. He calls him unjust, but then he says he commended him because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of the world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of the light. Then he went on to say, and I said to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you in an everlasting home. Now, there are some very important things here which he's trying to say, which are so important for us today and for us to understand why exactly the Lord gave this parable. Because if I was to ask you what is the meaning of the parable, I can guarantee you 95% of you would say, no, we don't know what God, Jesus was saying. Like, we don't understand. How can you commend an unjust person and then even say they were shrewder than the sons of the kingdom? So here he's talking about the shrewdness. And now this man said, I am leaving this position, but I have to create for myself a soft landing. Now I'm trying to explain to you what this parable is about. I'm trying to create for myself a soft landing, a place where when I leave, people will be able to receive me. So he acted shrewdly, but also unjustly. But he was commended because of one thing. And now the reason Jesus says that the children of darkness are more shrewd than the children of light is because this man understood the power of creating a community, people to whom he can go. And he was using his position to create a community, one way or the other. Now, try telling that to a believer, and you'll see how many moral things they'll tell you that is not right. Okay? Try telling somebody who is in a position of leadership, who has a job to give out, and the person who is from your congregation, okay, who is one of you, comes second, and the person who is totally out of your, you know, a total non-believer comes first, you will say, I have to be, for we are moral. So whoever wins, well, but the Lord says you're stupid. Because when you're thrown out of that position, the people to whom you use to create that thing are the places, is the place where you're going to land. Now, what he's trying to talk about here, and I'm going to explain it very carefully, is how to create a community. And the dominion that we speak about as a church is not going to be actualized until we learn how to create communities from which we come and to which we answer and who stand with us in times of need. Now, that's what this man was doing. He says, use unrighteous mammon to buy yourself friends. And so that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting kingdom. Now, I'll tell you this, one thing is this, that I know for a fact there are so many people who, if they actually learnt the meaning of what Jesus was saying here, would help so many other people. But they don't understand the power of community. How the Lord called us not just to preach the gospel individually, but to create a community of believers. That's how the gospel spreads, through communities. So somebody is in a position of authority, and he calls people who are from his community to come. And then he gives them, you know, jobs, opportunities, deals, and so on. And then he builds his own community. Now, that is how the gospel is spread. And that is how dominion is actualized. It is not actualized individually. Now, the most individual thinking people are believers. They only think about themselves. Once they sit in a place, that's it. Somebody will come who you are in position to help, and you will say, you have to be, you know, for us, we follow a no-no. You know, this is what you finished third in the interview. So I have to give the person who finished first. You go there and finish first, and that person has somebody whom they are trying to promote, either a relative or somebody from the same religion, and you will see. You will even finish first, and they will give the 10th person. And then after some time, they have a strong community and a place to fall back to, and you do not. That's why Jesus says they are shrewder. Now, this is not talking about morality, what's right and what's wrong. This is talking about being shrewd. And he goes on to say, in the next verse, and I said to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon. Now, he says, even classifying that. Now, so many people don't know the meaning of this, making friends through unrighteous mammon. There are some friends whom you can only make through money. You go to a place, you need the favor. Anyway, what does he mean? Now some people are saying bad. Eh? No, but what does he mean? What does he mean? Let me tell you, there are people, I'll tell you this. For instance, when I went, I don't know whether I should give this. I didn't want to go in this side. But let me just go there. Because anyway, I belong there. So when I went campaigning, so I went with this notion that everybody thinks Museveni is such a terrible person. He has made people poor, which is true. How he has worked so hard to keep people in poverty and what. Then I arrived in places, abstract places. Then you reach there, and there's a hotel I was in somewhere. I'd even booked into the hotel. Then the owner comes and tells me, but you man, I hear you saying things about her. And the man is a Muteso, so I'm saying, what does this man have? Then eventually, we talked with the man. Then he told me the bank was taking his hotel and his Museveni personally. Who told the bank, you cheat him? He's one of our investors. He didn't know him. He did not know him personally. He just understood this man is losing his thing and he stood in for him. Now, that man swears by him. That's what they call making friends with unrighteous what? Hey, I even checked out of his hotel. What if he poisons me from there? He was very angry with me. How can you say things about... Now I realized all across the country, people have made friends using unrighteous mammon. So the people have experiences. And unfortunately, that was the only example I could give you for you to understand what I mean. Okay, the one that came to mind. Eh? But you know what I mean. Eh? Now you find people, and for you think they share in your anger. They don't. Somebody says, but you know what, that person has a... And once, you know, and they are unique. And not that they are people whom you think would be in a position where there would be hope. No. It's abstract, from nowhere. Pa! The person tells you his story. And I said, now this is why he says the children of the king, of what? Of darkness. Like that man. Darkness. But where is the darkness? Are wiser in their generation. Shrewder than the children of the kingdom. Now, there are some of you who there is not a single person who can stand up and say you helped them when they were in need. Not one. Not one person. Now, when you are in need, nobody is interested in your story. Now, that man got of his own money, that man I'm telling you about, picked of his own money and was going paying people in the villages to vote for Museveni. I said, man, but the man, I was going down, the bank was taking my thing. He's the one who stood in for me. Now, I own this hotel because of him. I said, okay, that's nice. You have a nice hotel, but I'm going out. So I left the hotel. Because I could see he was angry with me. Now. So now that's what Jesus was saying. Sometimes you have to use positions of authority. And he says that this is what makes them shrewder and wiser in their generation than we are. Because when... And now when you sit in a place like that and you have an opportunity to bring people who are like you. Now some of you say you are preaching nepotism. Yes. I'm preaching what? Yes. From the scripture. Galatians chapter 5. Is it chapter 5? Says be good to all people. But especially those of the household of faith. Amen? Amen? You first show us that scripture before we come back to this. The truth which Jesus put here. Show us that scripture. Galatians. Therefore, as we also have opportunity, let us do good to all. Especially those who are of the household of faith. In other words, preferably. In other words, put them ahead. They are not at the same level. You cannot put somebody who is of the household of faith with somebody who is not. The Bible does not recommend that. That's what calls building a community now, especially. Don't go to everybody. Don't be bad to anybody. But especially. Then somebody comes and you especially, you know, the house of somebody, house of faith. I remember there's some church I used to attend and there was some guy who was working in a place of missionaries and the money was stolen. I think a bigger sum of money, about 800 million. So the guy was a leading praise in church. So they arrested him and took him and they sentenced him. And so he was in Luzira. They are cheering, waiting for his years to pass. But then the pastor went to the DPP, who was born again, and told the DPP, I know this boy did not steal the money. So the DPP said, Pastor, are you sure he did not? He said, I know him. This boy, I've grown with him. Even if he gets 1 million shilling, his life will be changed. There is no way he can have 800 million and he's still looking like that. You know people who they cannot hide money. And I know some of you are like that. Even 1 million, your life, suddenly you start talking, even the way you talk is different. Just 1 million shilling. So the pastor assured the DPP that I can assure you this boy did not steal the money. So the DPP said, okay. Because the pastor was known to the DPP. Said, okay, at your word, the government is withdrawing all charges from him. So the gentleman says he was there in prison one day. You know when you know you still have years to go and you're there chilling, you have, you know. Then they call his name. Then he goes, come quickly. Then he arrives there and then they have your belongings which you entered with. Somewhere in a cavern or something. Very, very, you know. They keep them very, very badly. By the way, one of the reasons I don't even have a watch is I had a very expensive watch when they arrested me. It got spoiled in prison. Because they are not used to keeping expensive watches. Like the one which the watchman has. Praise the Lord. You'll be fine. Anyway, my point is, so they come and so they tell the guy, get to the government has withdrawn all charges against you. The guy is like, he's dreaming. He said, what do you mean? I was sent. I said, no, it's okay. They leave. So they escort you, take you to the gate, and you bust. Now, that DPP was a born-again person. And let me tell you, especially to the household of faith, you understand? When a pastor comes to him, he does not talk to him like any other person. And when a pastor tells him, I can assure you that boy did not steal the money. He says, I am taking your word as a pastor. Amen? Now, people don't know how to build communities of believers. Then as the occasion and opportunity open to us, let us do good to all people, not only being useful, profitable to them, but also doing what is for their spiritual good and advantage. This one that I confused it. Let's go back to the other side. So that's what figured out by meeting. But let's go back to the parable of Jesus. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of the world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of the light. Next verse. And he says, and I said to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Let me tell you, there is nothing I learned how to make friends with unrighteous mammon. When I don't need the friends. When I don't need the friends. You go to a place, you find these people, you know, if you have money, you give, and suddenly you get favor. Now, there are so many ways of getting favor. One is very long, the other one is just touching to your wallet. And you get favor. You find... By the way, you don't understand what money can do, eh? Anyway, let me. And I said to you, go to the next verse, verse 10. Then it says, he who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much. Now, this implies to what he was talking about. This is not detached from the whole parable. Amen? Now, if you are an LC1 chairman and they bring for you something, and you know the person they are bringing against you is somebody of a believer, and you are just in dealing with the household of faith at that level, he says he will give you bigger. Because you have shown that you have the ability to be this shrewd at the level that you are at. Okay? Or if you are in a job and you have an opportunity to do things good for people of the household of faith. By the way, let me tell you, not all the time are they deserving. Sometimes they are the least deserving. These people are also the faith. Sometimes they are hopeless, bogus, and undeserving. But the Bible does not say, do good to the household of faith if they are good. Amen? Because sometimes you help people and you know they are just, you help somebody and you know this person, if I was in a similar place, there is no way he would even do anything for me. I know it. But I'm not going to be like them. So you just do something for the sake. Now you're seated in a seat somewhere, you're human resource or something like that. Or some job, you can give some advantage somewhere to somebody by telling him what they need to do and so on. Now, let me tell you, as far as the Lord is concerned, you're being faithful in that place by creating a community. And he who is unjust in what is least will be unjust in much. So you can't tell somebody that you're in charge of a company and people of the household of faith come and you don't help them. Then you say, but if I was a minister or the president, my ministry would be full of bonus. You're lying. It has to start there. And let me tell you, other people do it. The only people who don't do it are us. Every other people do it. They do it for tribe. They do it for religion. They do it for everything else. Now for us, we think we are righteous when we don't do it. But actually, Jesus commended this man for saying you created for yourself a place where you're going to be. Praise the Lord. There are people who will not suffer just because of, you know, they created for them this sort of landing place. Anyway, so what is this? Is unjust also in matter. So now, when you're looking at this saying, who is faithful in what is least will also be faithful in what is much. Think about it in reference to the whole parable of that man. Don't isolate it and think about it in abstract. Then go to the next verse. Then it says, now this one is also another one. And you have not, if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? This is also the other person's thing. Anyway, there's something I'm trying to establish here. Go to the next verse. No servant, but okay, let's first go somewhere else, then we'll come back here. But what I'm trying to say is this. People have not understood how important for dominion to happen. We are going to have to build communities. Now, there are people who are here who you come for fellowship, you go. You don't know who is sitting next to you. You don't know where they work, what they do, or how they can help you. Maybe they're not even interested in knowing how they can help you, and so on. So we don't actually have a community. We just have churchgoers. And that's not right. And now we are going to go into evangelism. But we have to, we don't invite people into just coming to listen to church. We invite people into a community. When somebody comes, you ask them, what do you do? How can we help you? If there is no way we can help you, it's okay. You go and help yourself. But if there is a way we can help you, would love for you to what? Would love for you to reminds me of my young son. He can say that he can be putting on your shoes, then he says he wants to help you tie your laces. Then you say, okay, you tie them. Then he fidgets. He says, I want to help you tie your laces. So tie them. Then he fidgets. Then after some time when he has failed, he says, Dad, you help yourself. Now also, if there is any way we can help you, we'll help you. Now, if we cannot, but you see, there are people here who are selling land. There are people here who would buy land. There are people, and but they don't know each other at all. Now, because we don't build communities, that's why we even find believers in dating sites looking for husbands and wives. If we had a community, we'd know who is single, we'd know, and those things. Thomas, do you have a younger brother who is as handsome as you? Now we have a sister here who is in need. You understand? But you know, we don't know how to build communities. Now people come here, people would even come and say, I was scared to branch to come. Now, let me tell you something. The world understands the value of communities, and they picked it from the church. Starting with their master, the devil. The value of congregation. Having a congregation of people who are together. You know? Remember in Isaiah 14, verse 12. You remember the devil's whatever, what he had as his CV for rebellion. 14 verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? You who weakened the nations. Go ahead. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Now, God is building his congregation. The devil says, let me also build my congregation. And by the way, he loves to build his congregation. He says, I will also build my congregation. Then he goes on to say, and I will be like the Most High. Now, that is his thing. Now, you think he doesn't build his congregation? Actually, he does. And his congregation are not innocent against you. They come against you. Now, if they find you when people are isolated the way we be, they can hammer you. But for them, they assemble together against you. Isaiah 54, you know that scripture? They shall surely assemble, but not of me, says the Lord. Who are they? Your enemies. They shall surely assemble together against you. Now, whether you like it or not, there are people somewhere who are assembled together against you. But of course, he goes on to give a promise that whosoever Isaiah 54 says, indeed they shall surely assemble. Now they have an assembly, but not because of me. Whosoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Now that's a powerful promise. But he says, they shall surely assemble. Now even in the spirit realm, there are people who have assembled just against you. Every day they are there. Okay? But you have, he gives you the right to claim that they will fall for your sake. But they will assemble. And he says, they shall surely assemble against you. There is no doubt whether in the natural or in the spirit. Even in the natural, they would assemble against you. And every day they assemble against you. And they create those things. And if you do not know how to create your own community, you will not get true dominion. We shall not get true dominion. Being isolated as it is. Everybody on his own. And we are masters at that. Man, the church can be so isolated. So put off from each other. Nobody cares about the other. Nobody is the brother's keeper. We are just like that. People go through tough times, nobody cares. And they get hurt. And there's nobody who can come and talk to them. And they just need talking to and being nice to. And you know, sometimes ministry which is provided by the brethren. Anyway, now you see, Daniel, which is our book for dominion, for end time. Daniel understood this. When he was taken in Babylon and with his friends, he says that, you know the story, how they came, they decided, we are not going to go by the knowledge of the Babylonians. So they taught them wise people and what, and then eunuchs. You know, they would go and, they were eunuchs. You know what that means? Yeah. Because when you work in the palace, they have to make sure you're a eunuch. Because they are the king's concubines there and what, and they don't want you having ideas. Some of you don't know what a eunuch is. Huh? So anyway, the point is, and Daniel was one of them, by the way. But you see, you're there, and so you decide you're not going by their knowledge. So you separate yourself. But then now God comes and does something. He goes and gives Nebuchadnezzar a dream. And Nebuchadnezzar, in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar doesn't remember the dream, but he knows it was a very important dream, but he doesn't remember it. And that's God playing games on him. So then the magician says that, nobody can tell you the dream, because he demands, tell me the dream and its interpretation. Then the king says that you people have decided to lie to me, but now the times have changed. Now that is a very important thing there. He says that you've made your mind up to be lying to me, but now the times have changed. And sometimes times change, and God changes times and seasons, as he says in Daniel chapter 2 verse 19. He changes times and he changes seasons. Now he says the time of these wise men and magicians is over. Let me give them a riddle which only Daniel can solve. And so he raises the stakes. For this reason, the king was very angry and furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So they began to kill them. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time, that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to his company, to his companions, to his people, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, okay, that they might seek the mercies from God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now, so the secret was revealed to Daniel. After he had told all his friends, come and let us pray together, so that we don't die with these jokers. So God reveals the secret to Daniel. Now go to verse 46. After Daniel giving the dream and interpreting, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face prostrate before Daniel and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. Verse 47. Then the king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets. Since you could reveal this secret, go ahead. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Next verse. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat at the gate of the king. Now, therein is a simple, simple wisdom. Now, some of you, after you've reached such chitib, well, you forget the people whom you were with. But in that moment when the king is falling prostrate, you can't tell him to do anything. So you tell him, I also want Rutuama, I want this one, I want this one, this one. Okay. Well, all of them, I want them. The guy has just been falling prostrate. Now it's your time to do what? To make up your mind. So Daniel got to the people whom he had gone to tell, let us all pray that God reveals. Now when it was revealed to him, he did not go alone. He went with his company. And it is this company with which actually he managed to overthrow that kingdom. And I'll tell you this, the other company was also building against them. Amen? Because in the next chapter, these people now went for who? For Daniel's friends. When the king put up a statue. And then the people went and said, "Oh king, now they are gathering together against you. Did you not say, now there are three, did you not say that anybody who doesn't fall down should be put in fire? Now there are three of the captives of the Hebrews. They have refused to listen to your command. They will always gather against you." Even Daniel, they gathered against him in the days of King Darius. And they went and told the king to make a fake decree that they should worship him. So they will always gather against you. But now, the trouble is, if you are alone, you will be consumed. That's the truth. And God wants us to build communities of believers. Because people need more than just coming and listening to word and going. Okay? Sometimes people need communities. Okay, we've been a bit messed up here because we started a community, we even brought games and what. But then you're filled with spies who are all over. But now we are not going to fear spies. Because we have to build a community. You understand? Because, you see, it's important for people to have a place where they can go and chill with people who are like them. Anything that is of value that is learned is gotten like that. I remember when I was trying to learn French. Trying is the key word. So I went and started doing lessons. So I did lessons and what. I got somewhere, by the way. I got to a point where I could even listen to the news and understand. Okay, pick out and really get a gist of what they are saying. But now all those people, they said, if you are going to learn French, you have to come and exist in an environment of French. So they created a club there at National Theatre, Alliance Française. When you go there, you're not allowed to speak a word of English. So people who went there and were chilling out there eventually learned French. But for me, I didn't go there. And now I don't even the little I had. You know, Aina Ariongerwako. Who has shall be given. And him who doesn't have even the Kalito. He has will be taken away. Now even the Kalito French I had was taken. But you know, people went and when I went there once to that club, everybody is speaking French. The news is in French. They put French television, movies in French. What? I'm telling you, if I'd gone there for 3 months, I would be speaking French. Because they built a community for the purpose of that. Now, let me tell you, do you see these people who are doing evil? They know the power of having communities. And you hear them using the words. Eh? The LGBT word community. And you think it's just a joke, community. Do you know what those people do? There is a guy here who used to write for Monitor News. So he wanted to go and do Cheyo. So he left. And the excuse he gave is that he's a homo. He wasn't at all. I don't know anybody who likes women like that guy. He does not have the single homo, whatever, gene in him now. He's somebody who even see and look at a bat like this. But he said, but to get there, he went what? He went and said his own. When he arrived there, they took him to some, you know what they do, those people? They send you to some of those cold places where nobody wants to go, where you it's cold almost 9 months. It's snowing almost 9 months in there. Misery. So they take you there. You want to come and stay in Canada? Go there. So the guy went there, some of those northern places. Now, they keep record of them. So after some time, the guy said, "Man, these people are not a joke. The community, his community called him and said, how are you doing? Do you like your job? Can we get you another job?" Now they are treating him like he's a messiah. But they love and care. The guy said, these people can easily recruit you into their community. Because they say, "We can get you another job. Do you like that place? We can bring you down here. We can what? If you have any problem, call this number. We can support you." Man, the guy said, these guys are not a joke. Now imagine, Jesus said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Imagine if we did that in the gospel. And you're calling people, finding out, how are you doing? How are things? We have a opening here at our company. Come and apply. Maybe you'll get a job. Do you know how we can build a very dangerous community? Now those people, they say, Simanyi, you even hear them saying, now they say trans community. You think it's a joke? It's a real community. And people hate being isolated. All people hate being isolated. Now, when you tell them that they are going to support whatever, you're going to do something stupid, like go and do an operation and change yourself. Okay? And a man becomes a woman. Or a woman becomes a man. Something very stupid. But there is a community. You see? And people can be deceived by that. There's this community. Then you come. Don't worry, you'll never be isolated. Then they are fighting for you. Then the community has lawyers. Then it has what? Then it has activists and what? You know, and all. And they spread like that. And they chew away at serious people. Just because the church has never learned the power of actually having a community that is there, that people can go to. Now, I'll tell you this. Here. Something happens to somebody, you'll hear that, so-and-so was arrested. Everybody looks the other side. They don't care. Because we don't have a community. We have people, fellow congregants. And yet God actually, I'm going to show you some scriptures. Like the power of that whole community thing. Very, very powerful. Let's first read from Acts of the Apostles. Remember how the church was started? It's chapter 4. Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 4, verse, I don't know, maybe start with 18. I'm just gambling. But it's somewhere there. So they called them and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. You know this. The disciples called Peter and John after they had healed a lame man at the temple. You know, interest. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Go ahead. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. Verse 22. For the man was over 40 years on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Verse 22. And being let go, they went to their own community. I'm changing the word. And reported all that the chief priests and elders had said. Now, these are powerful apostles, but also them, they need a support group. So they had people somewhere waiting for them. So when they came from the Sanhedrin and they had been quizzed, they go and gather the people and say, now this is what happened. So they went and reported to their companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Verse 24. So when they had heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in it. Why, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? Verse 26. The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, were gathered together, their congregation against Jesus, to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Okay, go ahead. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered assembled together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, you cannot achieve this when you are alone. They go and quiz you and you go home alone. You cannot achieve this sort of thing. But when you have a company of people whom you call and say, this is what happened. This and this and this and this. And people lift up, genuinely lift up their voices and pray. You can bring down anyone and anything. That's why the enemy fights so hard to make sure that the believers don't ever get in community. Because when this sort of communities come, there is nobody who can stand against you, by the way. You don't even need to be as many as them. You just need to be with one accord and stand against, you know, evil. And like even the numbers that are here, which are very few, are enough if everyone is in one accord and we lift our voice. You see, yeah, they prayed and said, you know, God, you have said and the place is shaken. God shows that I have heard you and he fills them. And they are refilled afresh with the Holy Spirit. And then they get boldness. Amen? Now, This is what we are going to, by the way, we are going to have to learn how to build these communities. It's not a joke, and otherwise the people of the world are going to be building, they even say international community. The international community. And there is something they are pushing. Okay? International community. And the thing about them is that when the people of darkness, by the way, Asheron, even when they realize that something is not going to happen in their time, they will make sure they set all the foundations for it to happen after they are gone. I remember when they were electing the Pope, I was interested to see if the next Pope is going to be a different caliber of Pope. Because the previous one, honestly, the guy was all over the place. Huh? So, I thought it was important for me, because I know there are so many people who are like, who hold that office dear. Now, when there was a guy who was there, the one who died in 2005, called Pope John Paul II. Now, there it was, because that was somebody who was a real Pope, and even he elevated the office of the papacy to something big. And by the way, I even saw somebody who said that he called some man of God, some Pentecostal preacher, who said he called him to come and pray for his cardinals that they speak in tongues. And some of them were baptized and they spoke in tongues. The man of God said, I saw it on his preaching. So now that was like, and that's why even there was a lot of respect for that office. But now there's been a lot of, degeneration. So I was thinking that maybe the one who is going to come will be closer to Pope John Paul II. But then, before even they elected, I realized that 80% of the cardinals who were in the conclave electing the Pope were made cardinals by Francis. And I said, there is no hope there. Because the man made sure his legacy is going to continue. His fake legacy. By making sure he elevated so many cardinals, so many of them. Now this one was very close to him. So when I realized that, I knew, it's not going to go back to what it was before. Let's just accept what is there is. And it's there. You wait, you hear what he starts giving his policy, his doctrinal things. It's not going to be any different from Francis. Anyway, so my point is that this man realized that he wasn't going to be there for the end and so on. So he decided, now let me influence and make sure that I leave a footprint on whoever it is that is going to come. Now, if 80% of the cardinals were made cardinals by him, the man, even in his grave, he had power. So anyway, go to Acts chapter 12. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by his community. Let me tell you something, I know it for a fact. Here, a church leader can be arrested and people will all go their business. I hope not, but so, for him by the church. Go to verse 6. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with 2 chains. You know the story. But here is my point. People were praying night and day for Peter. Night and day for him. And even when he was released by the angel, he went to the house of one of the believers and people were gathered there praying for Peter. Okay? Now, when Peter went there and people were gathered, they were praying for Peter. But you know what happened eventually? Eventually, it caused the death of Herod. Then immediately, an angel of the Lord struck Herod. Now, you see, let me tell you, here is what happened. Because the people prayed, Herod first killed James. Then afterwards, he went for Peter because he said he saw it had pleased the Jews. So he was not going to be stopped. He would have continued. After Peter, he would have gone for John and whoever it is he would have gone for. Because he had realized this is popular. with the majority of the people. But now when the church prayed and prayed, first of all, Peter was rescued from four garrisons of soldiers, but that's not all. Now, everything else that happened afterwards to Herod was just God completing his judgment. You see, the thing is, there are things which God will do just to hurry up somebody's judgment. So, because people have prayed and it's time for you to get out of the way, so he makes you do something stupid so that your judgment comes. And that's what happened. So Herod, people come and he gives them food. And then he you know the story. Then they come and then they say, the voice of a God and not of a man. The voice of a God. Now, and Herod receives that. So God quickens his judgment. Then he says that. Then immediately an angel struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. Next verse. But the word of God grew. Now, here is it. Herod died, but the word of God what? Grew. It is not by chance that those verses are one after the other. If Herod had made himself a stumbling block for the word of God, the church had to come together in community and pray. Pray him out of the way. Now, you think it is just by coincidence. You try to come and say that we are starting something. Even if it is something as small as a circle. Here, watch as a circle. You will see. You will see people showing up from nowhere because they want you to keep church in church. They don't want the church to become a community which expands outside and starts helping people in their life. Because you become useless. You become, not useless, but you become ineffective in this end time if you're just church people. So they want you to stay there. Stay in church. Go and pray and go home. But now when you start saying, we have somebody here, we have somebody there, we have somebody in what? We have somebody in this place, in the other place. Nigerians have tried a bit of that, by the way. They have started a bit of that. They have built communities. Unfortunately, there are communities around ministries. But that's better than nothing. And some of them go around doctrinal, whatever it is, you know. But they are serious communities. Now, there's a church there, the Nigerian church, where if you're a tither and you lose a job, they will continue giving you the salary you've been getting until you get another job from the church, from church money. If you have been a tither. So now, you know what that does? It makes people secure in their thing that don't worry. If you lose your job and you come and say, I lost my job, were I paying tithe? Yes. Okay, don't worry. We shall give you like a salary until you get another job. And then because they are good people, when they get another job, they will come and say, I got another job, so now you keep your money. I'm going to continue giving my tithe. Praise the Lord. Now that's a community. Are we anywhere close to that? there's one where they told me that a policeman, a guy went to report to police. He was reporting the pastor, the man of God. So the guy goes to report to police. Then it gave the police. The policeman says, what did the man? He did this and this and this. What? So the policeman go to the what? Said that, give me the evidence. Do you have evidence? That yes, I have evidence. Then he gave him a paper with evidence and so on. The policeman squeezed the paper and put it in his mouth and beat it. And then threw it in that spin and said, you man, why are you trying to fight the gospel? Now, you might think that is fake. But let me tell you, there is only way you create dominion is like that. Amen? So you're going to be the policeman who is going to be arresting. Let me tell you, those things, that is stupidity. And that's how the church has been taught. But it's stupid. So you can't go because the policeman you're reporting to is a tither, the man of God's what? Judge. So he's not going. You're not going to find favor there. The man will say, "Hey, so what did the man of God do? That he did this and this and this." At some of you, let me tell you, some of you, even if you are traffic policemen, and you caught me talking on phone, you'd put me in. And then on Friday you come here because you're fake. Like you don't understand that church has to be community. Like. There has to be, do you know the people who understand those things properly? The people of the world, those Freemasons, there is nothing. You can't. They are in judges, they are in lawyers, they are in what? They are everywhere, police, where, what. If you're one of them, they will get you in very tight things. And you will never get anywhere. You will never get anywhere. There's a lady who wasn't even one of them, she was working for one of them. Then she got into serious trouble in America. So she went and told her boss, I'm in serious trouble. I did this and this and this. I'm in court. The guy just asked her which court. At this court. He looks through and they have their people everywhere. So he just calls. And then in 30 minutes they tell her the case has been dismissed. Now you say that that is wrong. You be there. You'll be at the bottom of the food chain all the time. Especially to those of the household of what? Yeah. Now, do you know that is that's what would preach the gospel? When people know that I come there, if I go to what, I know I'm going to be okay. Because those people have, they have people in this area, they have people in this area, they have people in police, in judiciary and what. You preach the gospel and build a community of people who come and they get a sense of security. Because that's what makes them attached to the thing. Not just, we are preaching the gospel. We are preaching the gospel. Go to Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Okay? And he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And when the young men arose and wrapped him and carried him out and buried him. Now it happened 3 hours later when his wife came, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things, not just the church, everybody. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Verse 13. Yet none of the rest dared to join them. None of those who are not part of the believers dared to join them. But the people esteemed them highly. The whole community esteemed them highly. Okay? And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. First of all, there has to be a fear. There's a lot of kamanyiro. People come here, they come near, then they are spying for what? Let me tell you. We are going to have to get to this Ananias and Sapphira stage to create a sense of fear. Because after these people have created this community where people are genuine, everything is done genuinely, there will always be somebody who wants to come and be sharp. Now, if what happened to Ananias and Sapphira had not happened, they would have destroyed the whole thing. Then everybody becomes a joker. We know you sold it for this much, you're pretending. Then now, because you know, fakeness is very near everybody. All of you, fakeness is just here in your nose. If somebody comes and does fake something fake, and it's so easy for it to spread, and everything which is serious becomes fake. So there is nothing which is sacrosanct. People take everything as a joke. And now that is the purpose of the plan of the enemy. That's the plan of the enemy. Now you go in their assemblies, in their congregations, in their communities of the Freemasons and what, there are no jokes. There is no joke. They swear by oaths and so on, and you have to follow and what. But now we come here, we're not going to swear by the oath of, you know, salvation and so on. But there's people bringing a lot of muzanyo and what, and people are joking, and there's no fear of God. Now, the reason Peter did this, because this was not God, it was Peter. The reason Peter did this is just to take out that muzanyo thing so that people can, you know, start having a sense of reverence. Now, after that, it says, great fear fell on everybody. And nobody dared join them, who is not part of them, no spies. And then their number increased what? And the believers were increased, added to the Lord, multitudes. Multitudes. Now, as I am going to tell you this, that The reality is that if we actually, you see here, it's very difficult to build a community of believers because the first thing people have is, what doctrine do you follow? So I tried even that and I realized you can't even talk to children of God. You go to ask for a vote, they're asking you what you believe about whatever. Then if you don't believe like them, they will go and vote for a Musamizi because you disagree on, do you believe in baptism by what or by what? And you see, it's stupidity. like you're dividing yourself. So you have to believe with everything. Even Peter and Paul did not agree. Peter blasted Paul at some stage and said, you play the hypocrite. We are not going to ever agree on doctrine. Ever. It is not going to happen. People are going to read the same Bible and have different interpretations. Didn't you see in Galatians, Paul blasting Peter that he was playing the hypocrite? They don't agree. Even Paul and Barnabas disagreed and each one went their own way. It says, and the disagreement between them was so strong that they separated and went. So it is always going to be there. Now, I was in Jinja, and there was a pastor who had stood for, a bishop who had stood for mayor. Nobody of the Baroko voted for him. They didn't. They voted for a Muslim because they disagreed with him on, you know, you believe Holy Communion is supposed to be given. What? You don't believe, so they voted for him. But you look at people and say, now when are we ever going to be serious and going to dominion? You cannot have dominion like that. All those people have their differences. All of them. But when it comes to areas of dominion, they actually pull themselves together and go for dominion. But believers, the community, we are going to have to learn how to do it. Now people will come here. Some people will even come and say, somebody told me, I passed and I was scared to even branch. Because everybody is looking like, you know, you are so accomplished, there is nobody to welcome, you know, people and what. And don't even ask them, how are you? Where do you study? Where do you work? What do you do? Now we are going to start learning how to do that. Eh? Because I can guarantee you so many of you don't even know what the other people do. You don't know. You don't know if somebody is looking for a job. You don't know what he studied. Maybe you have an opening in your place. You don't know nothing about them. You just come here, sit, listen to the word, and go. And you think we are going to have dominion like that? We are not. We have to build a community so that we know if we are dealing with things of this, there is somebody who does that here. If we are dealing with electricity, we have an electrician here. If we are dealing with something, we have somebody here. And that, and so on and so forth. Okay, there's some of the people might be fake, granted. But the scripture says we be good to what? To all people, especially those of the house. Do you know what Jesus, do you know what Paul, do you know what the Lord told Paul when he was preaching the gospel? That's, I think it's in Acts 19. He said that, do not fear. He says, the Lord came to him and told him, don't fear because I have many people in that city. Okay? Now even the Lord is saying, I have my people there. Who says that, don't fear. Go and preach the gospel. I have my people there. Now that would mean that maybe God knows that the mayor of that city is a believer. So and so. So he tells Paul, don't worry. I have my guys there. You will be safe. Now if God is even saying, you know, using that reference, that don't worry. Even in the judiciary, I have my people. Even in what I have, in ministries, I have my people there. Now God is using. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. Okay? For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city. Now, that was a good thing for God to say at that time. But now here, they will hurt you, and God will have many people, and they will not say anything. But there he's telling you, don't worry, my people are there, they will protect you. Okay? But now here, you show up before a judge who is a believer, and is, you know, according to section 100, I hereby sentence you. Then you look at the guy and say, man, you guy, have you read Galatians? So are you saying you should break the law? Yes! Those are men's laws. These are God's laws. Don't tell me the law. How many people break it? Galatians, yes, break the law. And God will say yes. Now you are faithful in little. So if you are just like a magistrate, nenda kustura madara, and you become what? Something bigger. Or if you are just, you, praise the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what Jesus was saying, that this man was shrewd. He built a community for himself and said, now these guys, I will need them because I'm leaving this job. So let me do good to them. And said, the master commended him for being shrewd. And then he said, but the children of the kingdom don't have that shrewdness. Praise the Lord. Yes. So if you have to break the law, you break it. In Mateka, you know the law is broken in law, but it's broken by other people. They break it every day. Don't they? You guys, anyway. Now you see that policeman who chewed the what? The evidence. Eh? For you think is fake. That's what you think, isn't it? Eh, but he is not. The man said, you're trying to, young man, you want to fight the gospel. Do you know? Let me tell you. You remember Jesus and Pontius Pilate? You think the fact that Pontius Pilate perhaps followed the law, which in whichever way. Chimutasa. No. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate said, I don't care what the law says, I'm not going to crucify him. But Pontius Pilate said, I've washed my hands. No, that's not enough. You're giving him to his enemies. Now, what if Pilate had stood up and said, because he suffered under Pontius Pilate. And what? And how imagine, you know? Those people could not have killed him until Pilate sentenced him. They didn't have the power to crucify him, unless Pilate did. But Pilate was scared. Then they said, we are going to say you're enemy of Caesar. What? But they should chimutaza. As far as heaven is concerned, if you'd have said, no, you are not going to crucify him. I'm the Roman proconsul here. I'm the one in charge of the law here. I have said, you're not going to crucify him. Of course, you'd have been crucified eventually. But as this Pilate would have said, it's not on me. Amen? And you should know what happened to Pilate after that. He had a historical history that Josephus' man says he suffered a lot after that. Those things that you say that his blood is off my hands, it's not. It's not. He suffered. The Romans came and threw him, deposed him and did what? And that's what he was trying to protect. When the Pharisees said, for us, if you don't crucify him, then you are an enemy of Caesar. He said, I wash my hands. There is no washing hands. Anyway, it reminds me of somebody was telling me a story the other day. I'm finished now. The other day of a guy who went for a crusade. Then the guy was, they preached. The guy was such a fake preacher. So he preached. Then he said, is anybody want to receive the Lord? Then everybody looked at him like this. Then he preached. Then said, does anybody want to receive the Lord? Then they looked at him. Then he mowed them like a few minutes. Anyone want to receive the Lord? Nobody. Then he said, get me a basin. Then he washed his hands. I've washed my hands. You're going to hell. Those are yours. Praise the Lord. Okay. I'm finished. Now, Pontius Pilate was... the guy condemned them to hell, man. Do we still have our tea? Eh? We still take tea? Okay, now, as we are taking tea today, I want you to find out about everybody. Eh? Find out their name, what they do, whether they are from a single, whether they are married. Just... get to know each other, you people. Let's start with a small community. Just find out, okay, forget seeing one, but what they do, how you can help them, what, you know, you understand? There are so many things which we are, what, going to do. Ask Thomas if he has a younger brother, if you're single, so that he can, you know, kayongiris, and so on and so forth. Praise the Lord. So now we are going to, and I'm serious, by the way, I want you to just, you know, don't be aloof. You know, we used not to be like these Africans, but now we are very, very bazungunized. You can stay in a block of flats and you don't even know your neighbor. Isn't it? When did we become like that?
Somewhere along the way, we became like Vazungu. Yet we are supposed to be relational people. So, praise the Lord. I've finished. Now let's go and have tea and get to know each other. Our community starts here. And even when you're inviting people, invite people to, like, you know, community and what. And that's part of the gospel, by the way, because the reason people even get saved and go back in the world is the world offers them a better community. Eh? Now, like that guy of what? Of Bisiak. Where they are calling you every time to find out if you like your job, do you want a better job? Where do you get that? The guy came back here and said, man, those guys are not a joke. They can easily get you into their things. Praise the Lord. So stand up and come and have it. I've finished. When I'm here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless you for each and every person that has connected here to this word. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, for an uplifting, for a multiplication, and for openings of new avenues of finance in their lives. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because it opens up for different people. I thank you for those who are seeking for jobs. You give them favor that they get them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. And those even who are seeking for finance, for school fees, and in the name of Jesus, and for other things, I pray, Father, that you make a way for them where there seems to be no way, that they shall receive of your abundant provision. And we thank you, Father, because we walk in abundance, because you are God of abundance. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, tea time. Tea, everybody has to take tea. Huh? You know what they call people, eh? There's no trauma in Uganda. Do you know what it means, Okubo Wami? Do you know what it means, Okubo Muto Wami? Do you know what that phrase means? You don't know. Yeah. So don't kubas wami. All of everybody has. Do you know what it means? You know what it means? Yeah. So everybody has to what? To take tea today. Well, how do you go and we prepare for you tea and you think when you are coming, you are going to take cappuccino? You think for us we don't have money to take cappuccino? Temutu manjira, come and take tea. Okay. Okay, come and take him. Stand up and come and.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.